good, thank you.
Good. So, you wrote an article on the three presidents in 1 week in Peru. So,
Yes.
we're going to delve into a little more of that article. So, why was there pushback in the first place against the Vizcarra? Oh, first, before we get into it, I feel like I should tell you the name of the podcast. So this is the Candid podcast. You're on Candid. So yeah. So why was there a pushback against the Vizcarra presidency once it came to power?
Oh, okay. So the original pushback, so we have to go back to 2016 to answer this question. So back in 2016, we had elections, and the two main candidates were Keiko Fujimori, which is former President Fujimori's daughter, and this other candidate, Pedro Pablo Kuczynski, better known as PPK in Peru. So what happened was that after Pedro Pablo Kuczynski won for over 40,000 votes, Keiko Fujimori's party was really upset by that win, and they were very much determined to oppose whatever movements Kuczynski did in regards to govern. And because they had the majority party in Congress, they actually were able to push back as many like reforms or projects as they wanted to push through Congress. And yeah, that's mainly what happened when it comes to that. The issue was the people were really unhappy by all these political movements that were happening because they had elected Kuczynski as their president, and they felt that whatever the other party was doing was not fair and it was not democratic.
Okay, so the Peruvian people were upset with the other party who had the majority, like vote in Congress. So they were upset with that party,
Yes.
and they felt it was undemocratic practices. And then so that event spiraled into everything that you talk about into your
Yes.
article, where there's like mass protests. So maybe we want to. So you mentioned in your article a story about a young college student punching a congressman. So maybe we want to get into that a bit. What was that about?
So this is really interesting. So we're talking about 4 years later. Vizcarra, which was Kuczynski's vice president, has now become president after Kuczynski was vacated. Well, attempted to be vacated also from office. So Vizcarra is president, and we're in the middle of a pandemic. Congress has been elected by the second time in one term. And most of them are not happy with Vizcarra on any of his attempts to govern, and they're not happy with the direction that he's leading. However, he still enjoys the majority of the population's confidence, with 51% of the population like backing what he's doing with his government. So what happened that day is that it was actually the second attempt in 2 months to vacate Vizcarra from presidency. The first one failed, and most people were not expecting this one to succeed. And I really want to stress that because that day was like any other day. Everyone was completely sure that they were going to fail and like he wasn't going to be vacated. And it just wasn't a concern for anyone because no one thought they were actually going to get away with it. So that day, after he was officially vacated, and I was watching it as it happened, he was vacated, and not even like 20 minutes later, we had all of the different party leaders come to speak with the press. And when the party leader of like the party that actually led the vacancy came forward to speak, I watched on television how this young college student just like threw a punch at his face, and everyone was just kind of shocked. There was like a lot of police presence, like the congressman had bodyguards. So the fact that he got away with it was very surprising to everyone.
Okay, so basically you have this mo like some Vizcarra's now leading the presidency, Congress is convening, and you have an upset college student who went to where the congressmen were being like kept and then threw the punch. And then so like and you watched this on TV. This was like broadcasted throughout
Yes,
Peru.
it was. it was broadcasted throughout Peru because, you know, like in that time, he was supposedly giving out a speech. So everyone was listening. And then, you know, you see the punch out of nowhere. And it's like kind of happening on camera live. And then I am pretty sure like every network like repeated the punch like at least twice after that happened because people didn't really believe that that was happening.
That's something like right out of Hollywood almost. Like yes. A congressman's giving a speech and then somebody makes just some sort of stance and punches him in the face. So what happened after that? Like you wrote that like he got taken away. What happened to the college kid after he threw the punch? What was the
follow-up? So he was automatically like seized by all of the bodyguards and like all of the police. And we're talking about like a lot of heavy police presence because right after the, you know, the vacancy was announced, like there were a lot of people that were coming outside of Congress to protest. We don't really know how he was able to get so close to the congressman because there was like a lot of police presence and like unless you were pressed you were not supposed to be there, but he got away with it. He was seized and he got taken into a police car, and you know that day like most people actually saw his act as heroic and not something really that was like violent. The fact is after that happened, people were the congressman was, you know, happy to have him be arrested. And they were talking about charges as far as up to 12 years in prison for that punch.
Wow. That's a long time for, I guess. And like that only sought to, did that like make him more of a national, kind of a national martyr, like a national hero?
Yes.
Such a harsh sentence. Yeah.
Such a harsh sentence. Like it's still something that they're debating because you know, like they're talking about 6 to 12 years and people are very unhappy, especially like after that happened and like the news came up the second day. Like a lot of people were like, honestly, like I should have thrown that punch too, or like I would have. And people really came together and like protests just kept going up and like numbers kept going up as like the days passed. Right now they're still debating whether or not they're going to give him such a harsh sentence, but like compared to other crimes that have been committed in Peru, that's an extremely harsh sentence for a punch.
Yeah, that's like it wasn't even an assassination attempt or anything of that nature. It was just kind of a punch. Do we know what this guy's like beliefs were? Like what he represent, like what the college kid represented, why he threw the punch in the first place on like a value level?
Well, you mean like what are his political affiliations, like, or
what are his like political beliefs, like what brought him to be in conflict with this congressman?
Okay, well I feel like a lot of his political beliefs is honestly like a lot of that we general population share. Like the fact is that it's not that people didn't believe that Vizcarra was corrupt. I think a lot of us, we don't really have a lot of faith in our system, and like a lot of things of us do believe that most politicians are corrupt. The fact of the matter was how Congress tried to do this for their own benefit, and they were not thinking of like our benefit at that time. That week, we were about to close a deal for like a lot of vaccines, for 20 million vaccines that we were supposed to buy from Pfizer. Like the money had already been transferred. And when this happened, all of that was like interrupted. So there was like a lot of like uncertainty of like when we're gonna get the vaccines now. And people just realized that this act was not because they were trying to uphold the constitution. It was because they thought this way they would be able to like get more government contracts and award them like to their friends and like get more of the country this way and like get more money. That's the gist of it. Yeah.
Okay. There's been like a buildup of tension, but in like the Peru population towards the Peruvian government for the past, like, would we say like 5-10 years or like just,
I think it's been more recent than that. When it comes to politics, I think it's been like, from 2017, there's definitely being a bit more of tension The political tension escalated in 2017 when Kuczynski was first attempted to be impeached. And it's mostly directed at Congress, to be honest, than it was at the presidency at that time. It was mostly because of all of congressmen's like attempts to blockade cabinet from actually being formed. You know, after Kuczynski was picked, he was trying to get all of his cabinet like actually through Congress because they have to prove it before it's official. And all of his picks were being denied. And there was actually no reason to do that more than just simply being vindictive because their party lost the presidency.
Okay. So there's like the people are really against their representatives, like elected representatives of Congress, for widespread corruption. And with this like frustration, how widespread are these protests? Are these like Peru wide, or like does it go global?
So yes, so Peruvian protests, like when it comes to like this week, we actually had manifestations in different parts of the world. There were like a couple of manifestations that happened in France, in the US. There were a couple in Canada that I even got to see because I have friends that live in Canada right now. Spain, Italy, like in there was also England, like in different countries of the world, Peruvians got together and they did small manifestations. Some were more larger than others during a day or like two. Well, there were like a lot of manifestations in the country in almost every main city.
Okay, so like the Peruvian diaspora kind of gathered together to protest this along with like the main country. That's pretty like widespread. I didn't really hear about any of this in Canada right now. I didn't really hear about any of these protests. And were these, so you said that these were like smaller signs of protest. So it wasn't like large, like through the streets, protests like that. It was more so like going to the embassies, or what was that about?
Yes, they either got to the embassy. So actually in Canada, well, Montreal, I actually saw their walk. So the Peruvian embassy, believe it or not, is actually next to the team quarters that's right in front of McGill.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it is. So what they did was, you know, where is the Staples near McGill? They basically walked from that park up to the embassy 2 days in a row. Yeah, to put it in a situation.
Okay. That's really fascinating how it, and yeah, throughout the past couple of years, definitely in Montreal, I've seen much more protests in front of like embassies. Very recently. So that's really interesting. What can we say about like social media in all of this? Did social media like help get the message out? How was that?
So social media was definitely actually the main impulsor behind this protest. I will definitely say that. A lot of the media did not cover the protest at the beginning. They did not comment on it. Yes, most of the people that did commented was through radio. And we actually had like the representative of like media to like the government come out say that he was being pressured to stop any kind of like commentary on TV. So social media took definitely like the front stage when it comes to like spreading the word out. It was like definitely Facebook, Twitter for sure. I don't think I've ever been on Twitter more than I was during that week. TikTok actually definitely also took a front stage. There were like a lot of videos of the protests happening and like all of the views were being recorded and they were being updated and like compilation of pictures of talks of like policemen, you know, being abusive, like all of that was out in the internet, and that's how we found out about it.
Oh, really? So like TikTok was like a major driver of the Peruvian protests. That's so weird. that's so strange. Because like here it's just used for like memes, but like in Peru, it turns into like a good driver. That's really interesting.
That week was definitely out of a movie. I don't think I ever was gonna see something like that in person. I remember I would check TikTok for news because that's how the media was not covering it, like how much. I think like the media was saying like, oh, there's been 40 wounded on today's protest. And then you had the woman that was actually the coordinator of Deborah Gates that went to like help the protesters that Saturday after all of them were like wounded. And she was saying like there were 300 people hurt today. And she was like specifying like the different types of wounds and stuff like that. So like you could see how obscure the media was, or like how maybe they were not fully aware of what is happening.
So wait, who was this?
So this was the person that's so basically we had a person that was in charge of helping every protester that was wounded during.
Oh, okay, so like a medic kind of thing. Okay.
Yeah.
And she made TikToks about like the exact numbers because the media in Peru is like really like, is it state it's state controlled or?
It usually is definitely there's been issues with like the media covering this like state scandals, but like it's not been a thing for the last couple decades, which is why most people were really surprised and disappointed by the fact that they didn't say much at the beginning of the week. Eventually they did come out and like do more full coverages, but that happened when they were more sure that Merino was actually not going to stay in power.
Okay. So the media was kind of getting almost like bullied, not bullied, but like put in a position to where they had to report what the state kind of wanted. Yeah. Okay, so
yes.
So you say you were like, you're in Peru right now, right? So what was your, what was your like full experience with these protests? I know you said you were watching on TikTok and you felt like that week was out from a movie, but what was your more like full experience? What were there protesters going by your like house or what was that about?
So yeah, it was actually quite surprising because so that Monday, you know, like I turn on the TV and I honestly do not think this is going to happen. Like no one thinks it's going to happen, but I was just curious, I guess. And then they actually vacated him. And I think I just like, mom, like the president has been vacated. And she was like, you're kidding me. Like there's no way. And I think everyone was just like really shocked. And then we saw the punch. The next day, basically that day, I see like, on everywhere on my social media, like on Instagram and Facebook, like all of my friends are ranting and everyone's like mad. And people are like, there's gonna be a big protest tomorrow. That day there was also a protest, but it was not an organized one. It was just like people really being mad and wanted to express them being angry at Congress, like outside the doors. The next one was actually properly organized and it was really big. And there was like a lot of people. At that time, I didn't really think that was going to hold. I didn't really think that was something that was like going to keep being at the center of the media, but a center of the stage. But like the next day, we had another really big protest. And people kept being mad and everyone was like sharing information on social media. I think I share like so many posts that day. And so did everyone I knew. People were donating money. They were trying to get together. And then I think it was a Thursday when the prime minister, which is a term we call this, like the head of cabinet, he came out and say that all of the attempts like the police had done that week, which they actually had been pretty abusive to citizens, were actually perfectly legal. And he stood behind the police 100%. Wow. And he didn't think any of that was wrong. And I think that's the moment when I realized that people were really mad. I live in the same neighborhood as that prime minister, actually. And where I live, it's really not well known for being a political place. Like here, it's honestly, it's a suburbs. People usually do not come unless like they have a reason to. The city is like 30 minutes away. But you have no idea how many people came to be outside his house because he had to say, I don't understand why you guys are protesting. So if you want me to like hear you out, like come to my house. And I think he was joking for sure, but everyone just decided to
just kind of did it. House. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. It was crazy for sure. And you know, like all the police had to come last minute to try to contain them from actually reaching the house. And even like the mayor of like where I live, he came out and say like he had been bullied by the government to like put mud like all around the streets so people wouldn't be able to go through, or like put car patrols, like, you know, like to try to stop it. And he had said no, because he thought that protesting was a right that everyone had. And it was mainly his own neighbors, the people that actually came to his house.
Wow. So, and you said in the article, he lived in like a gated thing. So his own neighbors just got upset at him and decided to,
yeah,
to break into his house. Sorry, I think my phone just went off on the podcast. That's fine. That's great. That's fine. So we've come to this point. And what are the updates on this situation? We talked earlier and you said there was a UN commission that was sent out.
Yes.
So what's the story with that?
So, you know, that Monday after the new president had already been sworn in, what happened that like Saturday at midnight from like Sunday morning was like a lot of people were reported missing. They were found progressively throughout 2 days and everyone was accounted for at the end, besides the people who passed away. And it was a situation that definitely concerned everyone, and like the UN and other countries made statements of support because they were concerned of like the abuses that these people were reporting, that like they were from sexual abuse to intimidation. I think I heard a firsthand story from my cousin's friends that they were actually coming back from the protest, and this policeman just like saw them and he was like, where are you guys coming from? And when they said, like, he proceeded to intimidate them. So it was something that like we already knew that was happening, and we were very angry that the government was not really doing anything about it. But once the new president was sworn in, he ordered an investigation, and the results just came out last week. Actually it was 2 days ago. Yeah. And basically what that investigation concluded was that actual bullets were used rather than rubber bullets, like it was supposed to be. You know, like you cannot shoot at protesters, like that's not allowed in any country, in any country that has a democracy. And that was a big violation of what the protests were supposed to be and like what the government usually assures as protection to citizens. So two generals were fired as a result from the police. And yeah, the results are now out, and this is something that's just starting to be discussed.
So the UN commission is out and they found that basically the police were doing human rights violations. On protesters, shooting them with real bullets, harassing them, sexually assaulting them. Really sorry to hear that your cousin's friends got caught up in that. That sucks. That's definitely not good. But where do you think that Peru kind of, like, what do you think is going to happen in the next couple of days?
So believe it or not, I actually woke up to another morning of a scandal. So I do not know how they're going to be focused and addressing this right now. It's probably going to take a backseat to today's scandal. Well, now that they've been fired, I really hope this is something that like the police gets better trained at. We have a new president now and we're going to have elections for a new term. Believe it or not, this has all been only one term. We have the elections in April upcoming, so we will have a new president by July. So I don't know, I really just hope that whoever takes charge of the country next can stay for its full term and will do a good job of bringing people together once again.
Okay, so new elections are coming up. Hopefully things start dying down just a bit in the next couple of months. And there can be like a peaceful and democratic resolution to all this. But is there anything else you want to talk about, or
Well, I don't know. I mean, we could talk about why Marina wasn't accepted by the people, I guess, because I don't think we mentioned that.
Yeah, sure. Let's dive into that briefly. So why wasn't Marina accepted by the people?
So Marina was what I would call in US terms like the Speaker of the House. He was elected President of Congress, and he was a politician that really did not have any kind of relevant experience or like importance before he became President of Congress. And he was elected to this position back in March 2020. So back in September 2020, he tried his first attempt at impeaching Martín Vizcarra, and he tried to get support from other political parties. So what we're talking about is that actually got together with military generals to ask if he was able to impeach and vacate Vizcarra, would he be able to have their support? And that was a conversation that was leaked. And something that people really frowned upon, the fact that he was trying to do this with a very specific goal. So when 2 months after he tried this again, I think that's why people didn't really think it was going to go through. They didn't really think he had the support, but he did. And
it turns out he did. Yeah.
So, yeah, it turns out he did.
So this guy gets in through corrupt means, basically, because he wasn't qualified.
No, he wasn't qualified.
Not qualified at all.
Not qualified at all, I would say, for sure. Like, he didn't have a very lengthy political career, and he actually didn't have a college degree.
He didn't even have a college degree, and he somehow made his way into being...
To president, yes.
President, okay.
For 5 days.
Wow. That's a little terrifying. And then he tried to do... He tried to basically, like, tilt... the democratic system in his favor with support, and the people had no say in any of this.
Yes.
Once he did everyone was reasonably very upset.
It was very terrifying, I would definitely say, because, you know, it was someone that, like, didn't really had any kind of, like, political career. Like, he didn't really have any influence, and, like, people didn't really know him. And he somehow was able to grab power for 5 days.
Would you say that there's any, like, parallels to what happened in the United States over the past, like, 4 years? Like parallels to that?
I would say definitely was really interesting to me, because do you remember the protests that happened, like, last summer when I was in Canada last summer, and, like, everything that happened in the US? It was kind of crazy, right? We were seeing all of this information floated on Instagram. And, you know, I was in Canada, so I didn't really know firsthand, but, like, I had a lot of friends in the US, and, like, everyone's talking about it. And, like, you know, I was talking about it with my friends. So then this happened, and it felt like it was really similar. Like, people were really upset about the government. And I think these last 4 years have definitely been difficult for, like, a lot of countries, and, like, democracy is more tested than ever.
Yeah, we did a Myanmar podcast a couple of days ago. I don't know when it's coming out, but it's a completely different situation with Myanmar, because there's, like, a military coup and everything that's going on there. But there seems to be definitely, like, in the past 5 years, five years, there's, like, this could just not be a trend, and it could just be pulling stuff out of the hat, as it were. But there seems to be, like, a trend of rising, like, challengers to democracies, and rising like, just governments propped up on very just not qualified, hateful individuals sometimes. Like, I don't know if
No, I totally agree with you. I've been saying the same thing for the last couple of months, actually. Like, about the last 5 years, there's been so many challenges to democracies. And it's not just Peru, you know, or the US. Like, I've heard similar things like have happened like in Brazil, in Mexico, Chile has
Chile.
Yes. So, you know, we see that democracy, it's being contested maybe in a way, or like people are maybe not completely happy with the system. And it's interesting, right? Because this is something that democracy, it has not been that long at all. And we had other systems of government before then. So I wonder, are we going to like evolve to some new system at some point? How are we going to reform?
To quote Mac Miller here, we tend to grow from like anguish and like challenges to our system. So I completely see the system of democracy and like government in general changing. I don't know if it's going to be good or bad, because depending on if these populist like regimes or populist governments continue, like what their influence is going to be, but I can definitely see us changing the system in a lot of ways. And we'll have to see if it's good or bad, but yeah, it's definitely going to be interesting for sure. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of a terrifying time to be alive, but also a super interesting time to be alive. I don't know.
Yes,
I
agree. I think it's weird, right? Because like there's been a pandemic and that feels like out of the movie. And then there's all these things happening, especially 2021, everything that happened in the US. That did seem out of a movie too.
Yeah, the Capitol, everything that happened on the Capitol and everything that's just been happening, like, and all over the world, just things have been breaking out. Like, and we're only 2 months into 2021.
So yes.
That's crazy. This last year, like 2020 really did, I think, put a big strain on the world. Yeah. And now like, we're only seeing the ramifications of that start to crop up more frequently. Like they've always been cropping up, but now they're just like catching our attention a bit more, maybe.
Yeah, so. I think everyone is like more hyper aware of everything that's going on.
For sure.
And I think it's interesting, right? Because like our generation is definitely more interested in politics than I think my parents' generation was.
Oh yeah, so. same with my parents here. Our generation definitely has a bigger interest in like social change and like what's going on. And yeah, I think that's good to be like that aware, but yeah. I mean, sometimes it can get a little tiring sometimes, but
it does
from hearing all the bad news. But honestly, I don't know. I see this as definitely a good thing for sure. Like good thing that we're all more aware of it. But We're coming up to like 35 minutes here. So it was awesome having you on, Ariana. Is there anything you want to like plug or anything like that?
Well, you know, actually, if you guys are like anyone is interested in finding more about Peru, we're having a new situation that's been really interesting. So right now we've just found out that 500 citizens, like private citizens and high ranking officials were vaccinated with vaccines that came from a trial back in September. So
that's
trending. Yes, will definitely be trending in the last couple days.
Oh my God. Wow. Okay. Cool. If you want to come back and talk about that at any point, please.
I would love to, for sure.
I'm so down to have you back on to talk about that. That's so like, now that's out of a movie. That's, if they turn into zombies, like I'm gonna be like, oh my God.
Yeah, it literally just came out like a couple days ago. There were rumors, you know, like they always are.
Oh, wow.
And then today it was confirmed, and they even like made public the list of everyone that was like vaccinated that wasn't supposed to. there's a lot of prominent names in that list, very rich private citizens and people that were like high ranking officials, including former president Martín Vizcarra. So
really? Oh my.
Yes.
Wow. Okay. So yeah, we'll have you back on to talk about that. That's definitely something we should get into next time for sure. Like as the situation develops and we get to know more. I'd love to have you back on for that. That's awesome.
Great. Okay. Thank you so much for your time. This was really fun.
No, thank you for your time. This was great. Yeah. So I'm just gonna stop the recording.